You know, as we approach Christmas, we're going to be reminded of, and I'm sure you already have been, the birth of Jesus. And I think that the birth of Jesus is certainly an event worthy of our celebration because God became flesh and dwelt among men. The birth of Jesus is a miraculous reminder to us of the depth of God's love for us, that He would send His own Son into the world that He might seek and save the lost. It's a reminder that if God would love us to this degree, that when we were yet His enemies, He would become a man. He would not only become a man, but He would become a servant, and He would submit Himself to the point of death upon the cross. It's a reminder that if God would love us to this degree, that no matter what may come to us in this life, there is hope in such a God as this. In preparation for this series, there were two main scriptures that I referred to just in my own mind and my own thoughts. And I wanted to draw your attention to these this morning, and as they mention our three major subjects, that being faith, hope, and love. The first, of course, is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. It says, "Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And love will be our topic and our subject of next week's message. But also Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 24. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." And so last week we began this series by taking some time really to remind ourselves of what God is, or who our God is, and what our God says. And as I said last week, and certainly the intention this week, is really to encourage and inspire your faith, because sometimes we forget these things that are very foundational and very fundamental to who we are as the followers of Christ. And so today we'll consider a closely related subject to that of faith, and this is, of course, hope. And while, again, the subject of hope is certainly much more than we will be able to carefully examine in one morning, my aim today is to remind you of this hope that is yours in Christ and to encourage you to turn your attention heavenward. And so this morning, if you are taking notes, you can put down the 3 points if you want to ahead of time. The first is we'll look at the character of our hope, or really what it is, the nature of our hope, where it comes from. We'll then look at the confidence of our hope, how we can have confidence in our hope, and then the conduct of our hope, and really what our hope does in our lives and how it changes the way that we live. And so what we're going to be doing is I was just studying and really just trying to work out how I was going to arrange this. That's the thing with topical studies. You can kind of just go anywhere, right? It's hard to find a real, outline or anything like that. And I find that a bit challenging, at least when you're going verse by verse. Paul or Peter, whoever it is, has an outline for you right there. You don't have to search very hard. But what I really noticed is that Peter's mention of hope in his letter, 1 Peter, really did provide somewhat of an outline for us this morning. And so that's really what I've drawn these 3 points from. And the first is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And I want to read that together with you. And we'll read through verse 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Let's pause there. We'll get into the next verses in a moment. But here we begin really our study this morning by understanding the nature, the character of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And I love what he says there. He says that according to his abundant mercy, he has birthed us or begotten us again to a living hope. Now, being born again is a familiar concept to those of us who know the Word of God. Jesus teaches in John chapter 3 that unless a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. The scripture instructs us that to experience this new birth, a person must turn from their sin and place their faith in Jesus for salvation. And that when we place our faith in Jesus and the Spirit comes to live inside us, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are born again. When Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he didn't quite understand what Jesus was saying. But what he's talking about is this new spiritual birth that takes place in our lives through the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter builds on this concept a bit here by identifying not how a person is born again, but rather what we are born into when we are born again. And he says that we are begotten again, that we're born again into or to a living hope. And we're born again to an incorruptible inheritance. I love that. A living hope and an incorruptible inheritance. Now, when he talks about us being born into a living hope, he's not just saying that the hope we have is alive in the sense that it's abiding and remaining. That's not really what he's getting at. What he's really saying is that we're born into the hope of life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we're born into a hope of living ultimately. This is the basis of the believer's eternal hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a living hope. It's a hope of life eternal. And that's really what we gain through Christ Jesus, this eternal hope. Now, during the life and ministry of Jesus, Peter placed his hope in Jesus as Israel's Messiah. Now, according to Peter's understanding and the understanding of the other disciples, what this meant for them was the establishment of an earthly kingdom. I'm sure that Peter believed the teachings of Jesus regarding eternal life. You know, when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me should not perish, but will not perish, or though he may die, yet he will live." I'm sure that Peter believed the teachings of Jesus regarding eternal life. But when Jesus died, it does seem that Peter's hope died with him. In fact, all of the disciples, it seems like their hope died with Jesus because they were anticipating him to establish an earthly kingdom at that time. And to them, a dead Messiah could not offer any hope. And that at least is the way, at least in the way that Peter had anticipated it. And so what he says here is that we've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. That changed everything for Peter. And it changes everything for us. In Romans chapter 8, Paul offers even more understanding. Actually, I skipped ahead. This is actually the point that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 13 through 28. There, Paul explains that if Christ is not risen, then our faith is worthless and our hope is pitiable. If all we have faith in is the risen Christ, then we are to be pitied. Paul continues there by establishing the reality of the resurrection and the glorious hope that is ours because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are born into a living hope because Jesus is risen from the dead. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul offers an even deeper understanding to the hope that we have been birthed into by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, let's read through this together, beginning in verse 18, reading through verse 25. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves," notice this, "we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Do you see what Paul is saying there? Similarly to what Peter says here, is that our hope is tied up in the resurrection of Jesus and our incorruptible inheritance that is reserved in heaven for us. And we hope for that, and we eagerly wait for that. In fact, he says, we groan for that. Paul identifies the hope that we've been born into as something that can encourage us through times of difficulty and helps us to develop a longing of better things, things that are yet to come. Now, when Paul says there in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, that I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, we need to understand that Paul went through some serious hardships. You can read about some of those in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. He went through difficult things, much more challenging than what we've gone through, more than likely. Stoned and beaten and arrested, you know, imprisoned, shipwrecked, all of those things, simply because he wanted to preach the gospel of Christ. But he was convinced that those things that he endured were not worthy to be compared against what awaited him. And in fact, it was his hope of eternity that caused him to endure those things in the way that he did. Are you convinced that what awaits you after this life is finished is far greater than anything that you may have to endure or that you may choose to enjoy in this life? It's far greater than the things you are having to endure today or the things that you are enjoying today. Ultimately, our hope as believers is established on the resurrection of Jesus, and the nature or the character of this hope is eternal glorification with Christ in the resurrection. Sometimes we get our gaze and our focus too fixed on temporary things. We begin to place our hope in things that are temporary and not eternal. The resurrection of Jesus secures our hope of resurrection. Because Jesus is raised, we too will be raised. That's what Paul makes. That's the point that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so it secures the hope of our resurrection, but also the hope of an inheritance in him and with him. Jesus encouraged his disciples to live in light of this eternal expectation, that our lives are to be impacted by what we have waiting for us after this life is finished. Listen to what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth or rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Have you ever been disappointed when, you know, something that you've spent a lot of money in begins to break down or wear out? Or maybe thieves break in and steal it and you think, oh man, there was so much money and time invested in that thing. And Jesus says, don't lay up for yourselves those things, but instead lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The things that we lay up in heaven are things that we don't have to worry about. They're secure in Christ Jesus. We don't even have to use mothballs to keep them, you know, fresh and clean. Mothballs are so gross smelling. Is that what you call them here, mothballs? Do you know what those are? You don't know what those are? I don't know what they are either. What are they? They're stinky little things that you put with your clothes to keep moths away, right? Look, we don't have any issue. That wasn't in my notes, by the way. We don't have any issue when it comes to laying up for ourselves here. It's logical. It makes sense, right? Many of us will prepare for ourselves for when we're older. We'll maybe prepare or plan a retirement, or perhaps we're preparing ourselves for when we think times may get rough. Some of you may be planning and preparing, you know, for an eventual financial collapse or something of that nature, maybe a great reset or something like that. And I know that this idea and this thinking of preparation and preparing for the future is something that is on our hearts and our minds, teaching ourselves how certain skills and things, and we think we're going to prepare for the future. Prepare for when things get tough and prepare for when I get older and can't work the way that I can. I'm not saying any of that is wrong. The message of the gospel, however, is a message that says, look beyond all of those things. Look up for what lays beyond this life. And what Jesus says is ensure that you're laying up for yourselves eternal treasures more so than temporary ones. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says this, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. You know, as you age, you begin to see even more your outward man perishing. Amen? Amen, Brian? You know, and it just, it happens, you know, and I think many of us could say amen to that. But the inward man, our spirits, can be renewed day by day. And then he says, for our light affliction, again, remember who we're talking about here. This is Paul. And he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That's his perspective. The things that he went through, they took months and years to go through, but it doesn't matter. They were light and they were but for a moment, and they're working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Glorification with Christ. That's our goal. That's our hope. And he says, well, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you remember last week's message, walk by faith? Walk by faith. And that's really how faith is connected to this in some way, is that we are walking by faith. And when we place our faith in these things which are not seen, these things which are eternal, I'll tell you what, you can walk through this life with tremendous hope. Just like the Apostle Paul, who went and endured such hardship because he was always looking past it. He was always looking to what was awaiting him in glorification with Christ. And he knew that hardships were working in his life a far greater weight of glory. God is at work. God is moving in our lives, no matter what we're going through, if we would listen, if we would walk in his ways. And we are living in some challenging times. I don't know if it's the most challenging of times, but we're living in some challenging times, some interesting times, no doubt, times that remind us of prophetic revelation. You know, and I think a lot of us are thinking about that. And I know that some of you, as I said, have been preparing for the worst. Now, I don't fault you in your preparation. It may prove to be wise. Only time can ultimately tell. But some of you, as I said, may be preparing for financial unrest or reset, but we ought to be looking for a time when Jesus will make all things new. Yes, human beings, they may, governments, they may be doing things, covertly that we can't see, that we don't know about. That may be happening, but our hope isn't in government, is it? I hope not. Our hope isn't in the financial institutions that seem so fragile at the moment or can collapse at any point and have in the past. And our hope is in when Jesus comes and he sets his feet on the Mount of Olives and he declares his rule and reign over this planet, over this earth in the millennial reign and eventually in the New Jerusalem. And when he doesn't just reset, he makes all things new. That's our hope. It's in Jesus. It's in resurrection, and I believe that one thing God is attempting to do, you remember what I said last week, we need to be more focused on what God is doing in this time than what our enemy is doing in this time, or what other people are doing in this time, or what government is doing in this time. And I believe that one thing God is attempting to do, outside of moving people around, that seems to be happening, right? He's moving people all over, is I think he wants us to wake up. I think he's trying to wake us up. He wants us to be sober. He wants us to have our eyes open. And the question I think that we need to hear and keep in mind is, what am I doing to prepare for heaven? At the men's meeting on Thursday evening, this came up in one of our topics, you know, this idea, the idea that we were looking at is from Colossians, you know, have our minds and fixed on eternal things. And we'll read through that scripture in a moment. But this idea of the wise and the foolish virgins, some were ready for the bridegroom to come, others were not. And I guess this is the question, wake up, and what are you doing to prepare for heaven? You might say, well, I don't believe that Jesus is coming back soon. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you believe he's coming back soon, because we're always told to be awake and to be vigilant and to be watchful and to be waiting for his return. It doesn't matter what your belief is on the timeline. We ought to be waiting, and you know, we know this, that we could go to Christ at any time. And so we ought to be preparing ourselves for heaven. So we move to the next point, which is the confidence of our hope. And we pick up our reading from 1 Peter chapter 1. We read there verses 3 through 4, you know, this idea that he's begotten us to a living hope, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, that's reserved in heaven for us. And then in verse 5 it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by the power of God through faith. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, Peter says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Do you guys know what that means, gird up the loins of your mind? You know, prepare yourself, pull up your pants, kind of prepare, gird up the... It's a kind of a rich meaning, but gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest your hope fully in the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 1, verse 20 of 1 Peter, he says, for indeed he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. See, through the resurrection of Jesus, we're given a living hope. We're promised an eternal inheritance, but we also ought to recognize that this hope is not maintained ultimately by the strength of our own flesh or by the power of our own performance, but rather by God's grace and by God's power. My faith and my hope are in God. I rest my hope fully upon that grace which is to be revealed to me then. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And that's really where the title of this morning's message comes from. Hold on to hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And I can hold on to this hope of eternal life and the resurrection from the dead because he who promised is faithful. Amen? He's faithful. At times, people begin to lose sight of their hope, not because the world around them is falling apart, nor because they really doubt the promises or power of God, but because they begin to place their hope in their own ability to maintain their hope. And they start to rest their hope fully in themselves rather than God and his faithfulness to his promises. Now, certainly, there are things you and I can do to increase our faith and to increase our hope. As we looked at last week, we can increase our faith by ensuring that we're reading the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Studying the Scriptures more in depth and understanding all of the details surrounding the resurrection of Christ and knowing, you know, the evidence that exists for the resurrection of Jesus and all of those things, they can certainly increase our faith and our hope. But ultimately, what it all boils down to is our willingness to take God at His word, to hold on to our confession, and to trust that He is gracious enough and that He is powerful enough to keep what has been entrusted to Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, that's what Paul says. He says, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. See, Peter explains that we are kept by the power of God through faith, that we ought to rest our faith or our hope fully in the grace of God, and that God, that is God's intention, that our faith and hope are in God, while our eternal hope ought to change our current conduct, which we'll get into in a moment. Our conduct should not necessarily change our confidence. Let me say that again. While our eternal hope ought to change our conduct should not change our confidence, because our confidence and our hope is in Christ. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in His faithfulness, and that He who calls you is faithful and also will do it. Our hope ought to change our conduct, but our conduct does not need to change our confidence. So that when you aren't doing very well, when you have had a bad week and you come into the church, you can come in with the same hope, because your hope is rested in Christ. It's rested in His grace and His power. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do that." Do it. Do you get that? "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." There's so much confidence to be had when we place our hope in Christ. There's so much confidence in our hope. And not only is there confidence in our hope, but this confident hope and this the character and the nature of our hope being based on and built upon the resurrection of Christ and being really based in heaven and heavenly promises changes the conduct of our lives today. It ought to. It ought to change the way that we live our lives now. You see, sometimes people get this turned around, and they imagine that their conduct is what will bring confidence to their hope. I know that there are some people going through that where it's like every week their hope is high, their hope is low, and it's all just based on how they're doing at the moment, how they're doing emotionally, how they're living, how they're conducting themselves. And so their hope is just like this ship, you know, that's tossed around. It's always going up. It's always going down. And they imagine that their conduct is what will bring confidence to their hope, when in reality, it's our faith in God's power and our hope in God's grace that brings confidence. And when we have that confidence in God's power, in God's grace, and our hope is placed in Him, that will in turn change the course and the conduct of our lives. We walk through life and we say, I place all of my hope, I rest all of my hope on Christ. And because of that, and because of everything that He's done, I want to live my life for Him. Now, our conduct may be a gauge for our confidence, but if our confidence rests on our conduct, our hope will be unstable and fleeting. And I've known Christians who have struggled with this all the time. You know, they struggle with this idea of, I just don't have hope. Where's your hope at? Who are you trusting in? Where are you placing your hope? What are you building it upon? If you build it on something that is temporary, your hope will be temporary. Build it on what you know is true, and that is Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. As we consider these final few points under this idea of the conduct of our hope, is that hope calls us to rejoice. Hope calls us to rejoice. If we are truly walking and standing and remaining in this hope, confident in our eternal hope through Christ Jesus, we can have joy. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified." There Peter is speaking this of this exceeding joy that is to be ours, even through reproach, even through sufferings, even through fiery trials, because of our hope in eternity. But he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, I believe we read this last week, I'll read it again. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, when our hope is properly placed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and in our eternal glory, and in our inheritance through Him, we will be able to rejoice in the most difficult of times. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how hard our lives become, we can walk in joy because we rejoice in the Lord and in our salvation. Those who have lost their sense of joy, and I think it's sad to see that, you know, as people are going through things today, that there are even Christians who have lost their sense of joy. They're consumed not with a rejoicing over what Christ has done and what Christ has promised, but they're just fearful and angry at what's going on. Those who have lost their sense of joy, and maybe that's you this morning, I don't know. I certainly don't have anybody in mind. But if you've lost your sense of joy, maybe it is that you've lost your sight of eternal hope. And you've just, you know, you've become distracted. Focus your attention once again heavenward. And what is yours in Christ Jesus? What is promised to you? And who is holding you? And who is holding and reserving that inheritance for you in heaven? And so hope calls us to rejoice, and hope calls us to holiness. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, Peter there says to gird up the loins of your mind, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in verse 14, he says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the lusts or to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So while we are meant to rest our hope fully upon the grace that is brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ, we ought to live our lives as obedient children, walking in holiness, living in purity before the Lord. Paul says something similar to Titus in Titus chapter 2. He says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that... Notice the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, and it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now Paul wrote this thousands of years ago, and he was telling them that this is how they ought to live. We ought to live this way as well, living soberly, righteously, godly, and looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. When we walk in hope, it does change our focus and it changes the way that we walk. In 1 John chapter 3, the Apostle John says something also very similar. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him, that is Jesus, as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. If you have a problem with, you know, the conduct of your life, maybe you've lost sight of your hope. When our hope is in proper focus, it will encourage us to live a life that honors and pleases the Lord with our eyes set on eternity, and knowing that He could come for us at any time. Colossians chapter 3 says, if you are then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. And finally, hope calls us to speak. Hope calls us to speak. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, Peter says, who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. The point that I want to draw your attention to here is this idea that he says that we ought to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Do you live in such a way that people think to themselves, I wonder why that guy lives with so much hope? Doesn't he see what's happening? Doesn't he know there's a pandemic? Doesn't he know that, you know, that there's inflation and that there's there's a lot of fear? Why has anyone asked you, who has asked you lately, why do you have so much hope? What is it about these Christians that they have so much hope? Can people see hope in your life? Now, I do think that some in the church have begun to live in such fear that the world may actually look at Christians today and ask the reason for the fear that is within us. Why are you so afraid? But we ought to live in such a way that the world would say, why do you have so much hope? Yes, the times we are living in are beginning to look more and more like the last days, and that being the case, we might expect that things will grow worse, that days will become more difficult and darker. But because our hope is not in this life, we have reason to hope through the darkest of times. And if people can see hope, are you ready to give to them an answer for that hope that they see? This is why I have hope. It doesn't matter if there's a pandemic. It doesn't matter if I lose everything, because my hope isn't here. It's in heaven. It's reserved with Christ. You can't steal it. It's not going to be affected by any kind of rust or collapse. Moths aren't going to get in there and make holes in it. It is secure. You can't do anything to it. So I'm going to rejoice in this hope. We have reason to hope. And what this world needs now from the church is they need to see a people that are filled with hope. They need to see people that are filled with hope. And worship team, you can come forward as we come to a close. And as the children of God, we're meant to bring this hope of resurrection life to people. And so as you go through your life, whatever it is that you do, whatever job you may have, whatever, wherever you're at in this world, I want to encourage you this morning that you have reason to hope. And I want to encourage you that you would stand in that hope, be confident in it, that you would walk in that hope, and that you would conduct yourself accordingly. And when you do that, when you are that kind of person that's just saying, I have so much hope, in spite of everything that's happening to me, I have so much hope, people are going to take note. They may even ask, why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? Why do you have so much? And then be prepared to answer. Let me just leave you with this final scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would establish us in every good word and work. God, we want to be those kinds of Christians, those kinds of people, those followers of yours, Lord, that just exude hope in a world, Lord, no matter how broken, how desperate, how dark it may become. Lord, you are the light of the world, and you sent your disciples out as light. And I pray, Lord, that we would shine as light. Father, people would see hope in us. They wouldn't see a fearful or cowering group of people, Lord, but they would see a group of people that are courageous and that stand in an eternal hope that cannot be stripped from us, that can never be robbed or taken away from us. No matter what comes, Lord, our hope is in you, and it is sure, and we can be confident in it. And we thank you for it this morning. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave today, that the challenges we've heard, Lord, would sink deep, and that we would not be hearers only, and leave self-deceived, thinking that hearing is enough. But, Father, that we would be doers of your word, that we would walk and stand confidently in the hope that is ours through faith in Christ Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.